ETC is go.
Pegasus is go.
ETC is go.
Copy, S is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
Safety comms is go.
SPE is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDR is go.
Launch director NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot and Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. Oh yeah, Tuesday night, 1st of June, welcome to it. You know, Diane, it's only less than 3 weeks now till the summer solstice, and I mention that for all the druids and reformed druids. They're the ones that are allowed to pray at bushes so that right. They can plan for the upcoming festivities.
Ah, the summer solstice. Well, here in Florida, June 1st signals the start of hurricane season.
Well, it's always something.
It's always something, and they're predicting a high hurricane season. It doesn't mean that any are going to hit the United States, but, you know, they're as good as predicting hurricanes as they are about predicting the weather. It's like they don't believe in looking out their windows.
That seems to be an issue. Now, here in north central Nebraska, June 1st does not signal the beginning of hurricane season. It signals the end of possible frost.
Oh, that's right. You get frost until the end of May.
Yeah, we always have that possibility. They say our final frost date is like May 30th, May 31st. So June 1st, we know we're in the clear now, at least until probably late October.
Oh, 3.5 months. Boy, you're lucky.
That's more than 3.5 months.
No. June, the beginning of June, beginning of July, beginning of August, beginning of September. You're talking about, you know, 3.5, 4 months. That's it.
4 months is a lot different than 3.5.
Oh, please. It's 15 more days.
Well, I'm just saying, you know. So we don't have to worry about frost. Now we have mosquitoes. Yeah, you know.
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm a mosquito magnet. If there's a mosquito within a mile, it'll zero in on me. And I'm not even, you know, heavy and tasty. I'm thin. What do they get from me?
Not a lot.
No. You think they go away and, you know, go away hungry.
Now, I've heard, and I don't know how true this is. I mean, the only time I was ever in Florida was in the middle of the winter. So, you know. But from what I've heard, you have two basic types of mosquitoes down there in South Florida. You got the kind that are small enough to crawl through the holes in a standard screen door.
True.
And
that's
you've
true.
Got... And you've got the kind that are big enough to just open the door and walk on in.
Yeah, I think that's what they do. They say, ooh, there's our dinner. Let's go get her.
Yeah, let's go get Diane.
I don't know what it is. I mean, my simple act of going out and putting my feral cat that has taken up residence here, put down her food at night or in the early morning hours, and they just come swarming. Ah, there she is.
Get her.
Yeah.
Well, wherever you are.
I look polka dot at times.
Well, you know, folks, look, wherever you are, summer is right around the corner. It's here. I mean, you know, who are we kidding? The kids are out of school. Of course, this year, can't really tell the difference in some places. They've been home all year anyway. But, you know, it is the unofficial beginning of the summer season. One thing we're going to see, excuse me, this year that we didn't see last year is a lot of people traveling.
Yeah, the gas prices are going higher and higher. Here today, I noticed on one of the pumps, it was $3.84 for regular.
Oof.
I know.
That's going to sting.
Yes, it is, because none of our cars take regular.
Folks, we got a great show for you. Excuse me, I got a frog in my throat tonight.
Cough up the hairball.
I know it. A little bit later tonight, I'm going to take on A Tale of Two Cities Dumbasses.
Okay.
Now, you might gather from that title a little bit of snark in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Diane, you're taking on Ending Republican Silence.
Yeah, and I say that with crossed fingers because I don't know if it's going to happen or not.
And you even, at one point, because, folks, I get sneak peeks at all this, but you even, at one point, delve into the snark cycle yourself.
Yeah, in the beginning of the article.
Yeah.
And then I give credit to you that I was not trying to usurp the king of snark.
well, you know, don't worry about that, but welcome to the light side.
I know, right? Sometimes I take things just on the serious end. I'm not really a snark writer, and I don't, you know, pretend to be, but I'll give it a try for a paragraph or so.
You know, the key to doing it is you have to think that way.
Yeah, and I don't think that way.
You know, that has to be your default setting, and it is mine, so.
Yeah, it's not mine.
Well, let's start with quick hitters.
Very tangible, scientific, fact-oriented type of person.
Well, I am too, but you know, my default setting when it comes to the, you know, the everyday response to things is snark. So.
And that's okay.
And I've been, and look, folks, I've been that way since I was a little kid. It's nothing new. Okay. My teachers at school used to get on me because they'd say something and I'd make some snarky comment. And the class would start laughing, and they'd start losing control of the class. And, oh,
in other words, you were a troublemaker.
Yes. Yes, I was. But they couldn't get too mad at me because I got good grades.
That's true.
You know, I wasn't your average screw-up, you know.
Okay.
So I was a screw-up a cut above.
Oh, okay.
If they had advanced classes for snark, I'd have been in them. Let's start with the quick hitters tonight. One of my favorite senators. You know, there's some great senators. There's some real turds in the punch bowl, too. But I love Senator John Kennedy out of Louisiana.
Well, just his name and the fact that he's a Republican. Wasn't always a Republican, but is a Republican now. It's kind of ironic because if the original John Kennedy, JFK, was alive today, he'd be a Republican.
Yeah, he would. Well, Senator Kennedy, he reminds, you know, he's from Louisiana. He's very plain spoken, but at the same time, very well spoken. He's sharp as a tack, but he's also kind of this crusty old man in the Senate, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he reminds
me. He's not that old.
No, he's really not. But he reminds me of the kind of guy that would be sitting on a front porch in a house that didn't have any air conditioning down there in Louisiana, swatting at alligators with a rolled up newspaper.
He doesn't strike me as that kind of man.
He just does.
He strikes me more like a Southern gentleman. Type of individual.
Yeah, he's part that.
But all I know is he's a big Trump supporter, and to me, that's an important thing.
Well, he launched his 2022 campaign. He's up for re-election next year. Launched his campaign, and in typical John Kennedy style, he told his supporters, "I won't let you down. I'd rather drink weed killer."
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he's got some snark in him. Just, well, you know, the way he is.
He's part Will Rogers. He's part Mark Twain. He's part, you know, old Southern gentleman. But, you know, he tells it like it is. That's what I like.
Yeah. Yeah, he's one of the Republicans that doesn't need to be woken because he knows the truth.
Yeah, he does, and he's not afraid to talk about it.
No, in fact, he was one of the Republicans that did not want the commission to look into the January 6th riots, what really was a disturbance. Right. He's one of them outspoken against it. Not against what Trump did, against what the Democrats are doing.
Well, good for him. You know, he doesn't care really what the other senators think of him. He just calls it like he sees it. And, you know, I'll tell you, there's a guy I would love to interview. Because I'll bet you, given the fact that you and I just tell it like it is and the way he tells it like it is, I'll bet you we'd have a great interview with him.
Oh, I'm sure we would. Maybe try to get a hold of him.
I would love to have him on the air. I mean, I'll bet he's got stories. I'll bet he's got some behind-the-scenes stories there in the Senate.
I'd be interested to know what finally changed the D to an R. What particular incident, or was it a conglomerate of incidents that said, you know, no, I'm walking away from this party?
I'll bet you it was kind of like Ronald Reagan, you know, that he didn't leave the party left him.
It could very well be.
You know?
Could very well be.
But good luck to Senator Kennedy, 2022 campaign now in full swing for him, as it is for a lot of other members of the Senate. And, of course, every member of the House is up for election every 2 years. So,
right. You know, so it'll be, you know, who can steal what. Now, I'm sure the Dominion, you know, tell, you know, the counters, I'm right. Sure they're being fixed even as we speak.
I'm sure of it. Now, the next three quick hitters fall into the category of shocking to Diane.
No, okay. They don't.
Absolutely, absolutely shocking. Apparently, the death toll of children, according to Hamas, has been somewhat exaggerated.
Somewhat? This is the group, you know, Hamas, that uses children as human shields, that stores their weapons and launches their weapons from private homes, from schools, from hospitals. They suddenly are saying, look how many children Israel killed. In the meantime, it's now coming out that some of those children have been dead for a long time. I guess, you know, they voted Democratic, so they got right. Resurrected, maybe.
What? Right.
Being killed over and over. Some of them are actually killed by Hamas when there is a new little tactic that they're using. They're deliberately not letting their rockets hit the intended targets of Israel. But if the rockets are falling short within the strip itself, killing civilians, especially children. Oh, but it's Israel's fault.
Yeah, Israel.
So that gets added to the tally.
Well, and of course, the mainstream media, they jump all over. Because when you know, Hamas says, you know, X number of children were killed by Israel, the mainstream media just runs with it. They don't fact check it. They don't look into it. And right. Now the truth is coming out, and a lot of members of the mainstream media are trying to figure out how to pull back from what they've been saying for the past couple of weeks. And basically what the mainstream media is doing is they're just not reporting the numbers now.
Well, not only that, it turns out the AP and some others knew exactly what was going on in that apartment building and professional building that Israel bombed. Of course, Israel's the only country in the world that sends out pamphlets and radio announcements that they're going to be bombing something so civilians can get out. Apparently, AP knew what was going on.
Well, of course they knew.
And they didn't report on it. That's what I mean. They knew about the hospitals filming arrivals of civilian casualties, and then when an officer would signal, they turn off their cameras when dead fighters came in. I mean, the AP, and not just the AP, Al Jazeera, of course, and some others, as far as I'm concerned, they're complicit. Silence is complicity.
Complacency.
Not complacency. They're complicit.
Okay.
And
all right.
They knew what was going on.
They had to know.
They didn't report on it.
They had to know. I mean, AP and Al Jazeera are right there in the building. Their offices were in that building, along with Hamas. Okay. So, I mean, if you're a news agency and you've got reporters in the building and Hamas is using the building, if you don't know, you should get out of the business.
They knew. They knew. So now you know where the AP's loyalty, at least that particular branch, their Mideast branch, lies.
Well, it's hard to tell the difference between AP over there and Al Jazeera over there.
True.
I mean, they're one and the same. They're a shill or whatever terrorist organization is running that particular show.
Yeah, I mean, if you have reporters of the caliber of AP and they don't know what's being stored in the building and they don't know the bombings that they're doing, they knew. They didn't report on it because who's ever running the show over there, Obama, probably has given orders you're not to report the truth. My opinion, folks.
Well, and I would guess that they know if they do report the truth, they get fired.
Exactly. Or worse.
Yeah. Out the door they go. So,
or they go missing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that too. Now, another shocking story for Diane. I know she had no idea this was coming, but apparently Governor DeSantis down there in Florida has decided to take on transgender athletics. He's saying, boys who pretend to be girls should not be competing against real girls in athletic events in Florida.
Right. What he's actually saying is girls, real girls and real women in girls' sports will not have to compete with transgender females who were biologically born male, even in the face of lawsuits or cancel culture calls. In other words, our wonderful governor knows if you're born a woman, you are a woman. If you're born a male, you are a male. You can change the outside package. You can mess with the insides a bit, but you can't change your DNA. You are as you were born.
Well, and it makes a difference. You know, this is why we have girls' sports and why we have, you know, separate girls' sports. And, you know, it wasn't that long ago when Title IX was the big deal in college athletics and high school athletics, where, you know, you had to have a certain number of girls-only sports, you know, to qualify for NCAA, you know, recognition, I guess, for lack of a better term. Well, now, you know, because of wokeism, that doesn't matter anymore because boys who want to pretend to be girls can compete as girls, and therefore it unlevels the playing field. You know, when girls are competing against girls, that's a level playing field. Boys against boys, that's a level playing field. But when you take boys and put them on the girls' team, all of a sudden, it's not a flat field anymore. And I'm old enough to remember when this was a real problem at the Olympics with the East Germans.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot of them were steroid users as well to bulk up.
Right. You know, and there was, I guarantee you, there were men competing as women on the East German Olympic teams.
That's what they're saying.
You know,
what Governor DeSantis did, and he did it today, he signed the Fairness in Women's Sports Act, and it actually bans transgender athletes in girls and women's sports from middle school through college, including intramural competitions in the state. That's a big thing, and I guarantee you other Republican governors are going to jump on board here in other states. I'm sure Texas will follow suit pretty soon.
Well, others should, because that's the right way to go about it. Look, there's a girl. She's no longer in high school. She's graduated. But a couple of years ago, she ran track, okay? High school track. And a couple of years ago, she was absolutely the fastest girl in North Carolina. She was getting scholarship offers from universities around the country. You know, come to our university, get your education, we'll pay for it, you run track, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then North Carolina started to allow transgender girls, quote-unquote, to compete, and all of a sudden, she was no longer the fastest girl in North Carolina. In fact, she lost like a half a dozen championships that if it wasn't for a couple of transgender athletes competing as girls, a couple of biological boys competing as girls in high school athletics, she would have won six more championships. Now, imagine what that could have done for her college career.
True.
You know?
True. It's this whole thing with the wokeism, this has just gone too far. Too far. Women have their sports. Men have their sports. There are some sports where they can compete, you know, against each other. But if you're going to do it, don't do it with transgender, because the one, a woman is a woman and a man is a man, period.
Right. You know, I mean, that's why we have Title IX. That's why we have girls' sports. You know,
exactly.
so that the girls don't have to compete against biological males.
Exactly.
And it's very simple. And finally, in quick hitters tonight, another huge shock for Diane. But apparently, President Trump was right about the China virus, and the media is now running scared because the media, the mainstream media and social media, let's face it, they were, you know, hating on Trump. Therefore, it wasn't the China virus. It didn't come from a lab in Wuhan. None of that ever happened, according to the media sources. But now it's coming out, the truth, that Trump was right.
Well, I got news for everybody. I was right before Trump was right. almost from day one. Not only did I speak about it, but I wrote about it. That while coronaviruses are naturally occurring viruses, you can take a naturally occurring virus and manipulate it and weaponize it as a bioweapon. And I said from day one, that's what I believe they did with a naturally occurring virus. They morphed it into a bioweapon.
Well,
and why they did it, I even put in one of the first articles. If you remember, folks, this all came about at the exact time that the trade deal that China was pissed about, because we came out on top. We're on top. Trump has them in their place. And suddenly there's this virus going around everywhere. Trump is blamed. You put the dominoes together, blow on them, and they'll fall.
Well, and, you know, what we're seeing now is the mainstream media chasing their own tails, because they spent the better part of an entire year claiming Trump was lying about this. It never happened that way. There's proof, they said, it never happened that way. But now the truth is coming out, and all of a sudden, Trump was right, and they were wrong, and they don't know what to do now.
Yeah, especially since the Obama administration, which Fauci was a part of and he knew of, they sent millions of our taxpayer dollars over to the Wuhan lab.
Yeah, go figure. And guess what? Fauci has gotten a book deal out of this whole thing.
Yes, he's like going to make lots of moolah.
You'll be able to find it in the fiction section.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure.
Or the bargain bin for a dollar like Hillary's book was.
Maybe they can bundle them up, two for a buck.
Oh, yeah, two for.
You know? But, yeah, this is kind of funny to me because we knew this all along. All the signs of it were there. I mean, this was no mass conspiracy theory. Ooh, it came from a lab in Wuhan. Come on. We knew from day one it came from Wuhan, China. We also knew from day one there's a biochemistry lab in Wuhan, China. It doesn't take a genius to figure out the virus came from that lab.
No, it doesn't take a genius. But I can tell you something that's quite funny. This is the little, you know, blurbage that goes in books. It's sort of like a synopsis.
Yeah.
And Fauci's book says he is offering his life philosophy, offering an intimate view of one of the world's greatest medical minds, as well as universal advice to live by. And the publishers say this is sure to strike a chord with readers. The inspiring words of wisdom in this book are centered around life lessons compiled from hours of interviews, offering a concrete path to a bright and hopeful future. And do you know what I say to that? You're all full of crap.
Well, isn't that kind of like saying the Hindenburg had a mostly successful landing?
Yeah.
I mean... You know,
and I mean, you know, Craig, look at it this way. He is a bought and paid for, very expensive bureaucrat. Okay. And now he's going to get another payday at our expense after, because of his words, businesses were shut down, livelihoods were destroyed, kids were kept out of school, the whole country was on lockdown. But guess what? It's all okay because he's going to make a lot of money from it.
Well, yeah. Woohoo. Good for him, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a $600,000 book deal. He actually funded the Wuhan lab for $600,000 and got a multi-million dollar book deal.
Going to be the best paid snake oil salesman in history.
Yeah, it's a great return on his investment, isn't it?
Good Lord.
I know.
Well, you know, I don't expect any apologies coming from either social media or the mainstream media toward President Trump or you or me or anybody else, but we were right all along.
Mm-hmm. From day one. Yes.
We'll just sit here and wait for those apologies to start rolling in.
Well, Facebook has, you know, left us alone. They've cut our readership, but now when we post something about COVID, they don't, you know, take our stuff down.
Yeah, they don't flag it anymore. But like you said, they've cut our viewership down so much. I mean, you know, so few people get to see our posts anymore, it doesn't really matter.
That's true. You know, you could put up little, what I call their stupid little blocks, you know, 140 characters in one of their illustrations or whatever. You can put that up and they'll let that go out. But if you write an intelligent piece that has research, truth, and facts in it, our readership has been cut countless amount.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Folks, stand by. We're at the bottom of the hour here. That means we got to take a little break, get a couple of station IDs in. When we come back, Diane's talking about ending Republican silence. And then about 30 minutes from now, I'm talking about A Tale of Two Cities, Dumbasses. Stay with us, folks. More Right Side Patriot.
Guys, Diane Sorey from the Patriot Factor on the patriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot and Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. If you miss any part of the show tonight, you can always catch it tomorrow. Go to rspradio1.com, click on the podcast button, and become one of the pod people.
Yay.
Hey, and we want to thank our pod people. They've been downloading our stuff quite often, and we love that. So,
yes.
Thank you, pod people. All right, Diane, so you have decided to take on ending Republican silence, and good luck to you.
I know. Well, let's start with this quote. You can fool all of the people some of the time. You can fool some of the people all of the time. But you can't fool all the people all the time. That was by President Abraham Lincoln. Now, just for the record, I want to state a few important things that I and the rest of America were force-fed over the past few years, beginning with the supposed fact that the U.S. Constitution is an outdated document, the United States is a democracy, acquiescing to BLM is now a mandated must, the police are bad, but rioting, looting, and arson are an accepted Democrat means to an end, there is no crisis at the southern border, the main proponents of climate change are now a much heralded former bartender and a Swedish high school dropout, the Palestinians are a legitimate people, Muslim is a race, Hamas is good, Israel is bad, and the mullahs in Iran just want nuclear power for peaceful purposes. Then there's the lies, yes, lies, about COVID-19 not originating in a lab in Wuhan, China. Masks are to be the new daily must-wear, new norm. Fracking is bad. Beholding to Arab oil is good. Gas at the pumps is skyrocketing, even with Biden's son being a supposed energy and oil expert. There are 57 genders from which one can identify as. People don't kill people. Guns alone do. Tearing down statues is okay as long as it changes what some believe to be America's racist history. Reparations are owed to black folks who were never slaves from white folks who were never slave owners. Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide. George Floyd is a saint. Joe Biden got more votes than any president before him. And the 2020 election was not stolen by pre-programmed to alter the vote Dominion voting machines. And dare I forget that toilet paper and Lysol spray are things that now and forever must be both rationed and treasured. Nope, folks, I am not trying to trespass on my right side patriot partner Craig Andreessen's sometimes snarky take on the world at large. I'm just repeating some of the forced upon us Democrat rhetoric that the mainstream media is still trying to pass off as absolute truth. And it's anything but truth they relish in force feeding the uninformed masses, the sheeple, the fence sitters, along with assorted rhinos thrown in for good measure. But with all this said, now I am seriously asking, why are the Republicans in D.C. sitting back, for the most part, and letting this happen? For they surely know right from wrong and truth from lies. Or do they? Or, Craig, are they but cowards too afraid to stand up to the true string pullers of the now powers that be, as well as to what some Republicans believe to be the extremists within their own party, thus choosing instead to raise the white flag of surrender?
You know, that's a couple of really good questions, and I suspect they both have one answer. One answer with two names, so it's kind of a two-headed monster, right?
Well, it's actually two questions with three names, and those names are Barack Hussein Obama is still being the prime force to be reckoned with, no matter that he lurks in the no longer veiled shadows. After all, the pocketbook needed to do harm to this great republic is basically unlimited, courtesy of the forever infamous America-hating George Soros. And with neither man fearing the now seemingly emasculated Republican hierarchy, coupled with the angst many conservative Republicans feel, thanks to the civility lost courtesy of the likes of Rhino Rep. Liz Cheney and Rhino Utah Senator Mitt Romney, the grand old party is seen by way too many as both disorganized on the surface and vindictive in the not-so-silent background. But being silent does not just mean silence in regards to the Republicans' failure to decidedly and outwardly fight back against the Democrat socialist agenda, coupled with its progressive policy directives. They're definitely outnumbered in the House, after all, making it somewhat of a losing battle right from the start. But their failure to successfully address the all-important matter of the Democrats to move forward with the everyday business of the government itself is key. And not to be forgotten is the ever-present 500-pound elephant in the room, an elephant that comes in the guise of an election being stolen by the manipulating of votes in key battleground states, manipulation accomplished via both corrupted vote tabulation software and biased poll workers. Thankfully, even though it's after the fact, we now know, courtesy of forensic audits in Arizona, Georgia, and New Hampshire, that voting irregularities did indeed take place, and hopefully other states will soon follow the forensic audit suit. But even if other states do reach the same findings as Arizona, Georgia, and New Hampshire did, it means nothing if Republicans still won't fight back, leaving the truth learned to be but a Republican political version of Custer's last stand. And that is truly sad, because with overall public distrust in the media now reaching somewhat of a crescendo, you'd think the vast majority of congressional Republicans would be jumping back on the Trump train post-haste. Yet it seems, as always, that most are just too cowardly to do so, what with the 2022 midterms now starting to take shape, and with the concept of election integrity being but a mere unattainable pipe dream for Republicans up for re-election. Republicans who remain fearful of upsetting their voter-based conservative apple cart. And Craig, of course, there's the always present fear of violence again rearing its ugly head, especially in Democrat-controlled cities and states. Violence, as in the element, behaving badly, being but politically generated social unrest to the nth degree.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up, because social unrest, I mean, unrest is one thing, but social unrest is a different beast altogether. And historically, the Republicans have run. I mean, run like silly rabbits to get away from anything that has social unrest attached to it. Why? Why is that?
Okay. First of all, you have to understand when we're talking about social unrest, we're talking about riots. That's what the Republicans fear most. For social unrest in this country usually comes courtesy of a very vocal yet relatively small minority of Black folks, the very folks whose actions and ideologies we the people have been forced by Democrats to accept thanks to their bowing to the likes of BLM, the critical race theory, reparations, inclusions, and other such overtly racist in their own right, politically pandering for votes, nonsense. But what if Republicans were to stand strong, united as one voice? If the 2020 election were proven to have been stolen, what would happen if more state governors started rejecting the BLM and the racist theory nonsense? What really would happen besides the as expected riots, looting, arson, and mayhem? Would our great nation fall? Would chaos be the order of the day? Would the media's hold over the masses be broken? Would overt, in-your-face racism reign supreme? Or would the ramifications be minimal at best? In fact, can a presidential election itself be redone if fraud was proven to have taken place? To answer the last question first, while some legal scholars state that the language in Article 2 of the Constitution prevents the redo of a presidential election, what with federal law setting a single election day, which, quote, mandates holding all elections for Congress and the presidency on a single day throughout the Union, end quote, other such scholars state that with judicial intervention, as in the Supreme Court, there is legal precedence for a presidential redo if there were legally proven flaws in the process found. And yet, Craig, even this would become just another conundrum that would take years to settle, a waste of time and Republican effort, for nothing would change in the foreseeable future, as legal procedures do take time to work their way through the process. Sadly, Joe Biden would still be president, or probably Kamala Harris would be, by the time 2024 rolled around and Trump ran again.
You know, I'm going to come back to this concept and Article 2. I'm going to come back to that a little bit later in this segment. But for now, what about the social unrest? Use your air quotes, social unrest angle of this. I mean, because that plays into this whole scenario too.
Okay, well now, the real tangibles of social unrest, and here we're talking rioting, looting, arson, and mayhem, we're talking about would they occur again? And that's something the Republicans and the majority of Americans fear most. The answer is sadly, unequivocally, yes, they would take place and probably be even worse than before. But maybe, folks, we need to go to the worst place in order for the masses to wake up to the truth. For the visuals of destruction and carnage in American cities can be a powerful tool by which to bring back sanity and common sense to the political discourse, a discourse that clearly shows how Democrats want to destroy our country, while Republicans, though far from perfect, do want the Union to be held intact, as would our founders and framers. And as for the all-important racial indoctrination aspect in all this, it's way past time for we the people to stand up and throw away the politically manufactured chains of racial hatred that the Democrats want to bind us all with. For the chains of hate are but a tool the Democrats and the media alone benefit from. And besides, reality shows that forced indoctrination based upon lies and a politically self-serving agenda can only continue on if there are those willing to accept the premises being pushed forward. Without acceptance, said indoctrination will too, in time, burn itself out. Remember, history itself has shown that in the end, no one group, race of people or political party succeeds or falls based solely upon hate, for time and circumstances have a way of evening things out, as those ones hated and feared eventually either become absorbed into the masses or simply fade away. So as President Lincoln so wisely said, and which I quoted at this article's and this show's beginning, quote, "You can fool all the people some of the time," to which I add, that is until patriots sleeping amongst us finally do wake up and start to fight back. And I do so hope the Republicans in Congress become some of those very patriots.
Well, I hope so, too. I mean, I'm not going to hold my breath waiting for some of them, you know. No. And you know, but I'll tell you, I think what it's going to take is a few good people in those halls in Congress to say, we've had enough, damn it, and put an end to it. I think if you get a few.
Yeah, and here we're talking about the Kennedy, you know, John Kennedy. We're talking about Ted Cruz, you know, men like that.
Right. Right. And they're going to have to be. And they're going to have to be very loud, and they're going to have to be very obnoxious, and they're not going to be able to soft sell it.
Correct.
Okay. Now, I said I wanted to go back to this Article 2 thing. Okay? Mm-hmm. Because something in what you wrote here strikes me.
Okay.
Okay, and I'm going to paraphrase a little bit here, but according to Article 2, you cannot redo an election, right?
Correct.
Why?
Because the Constitution mandates that the congressional races and the presidential races have to be held on a single day.
Stop right there. Stop right there. Was this 2020 election held on a single day?
No, it was spread out as votes, you know, started trickling in mysteriously. So
that's
in a way, no, it wasn't. And also early voting.
That's my point right there.
And
see,
absentee balloting.
Early voting, absentee. I mean, we had people voting in the 2020 election for months.
Exactly.
Okay, this was not a single day election. So, I'm not an attorney. I don't play one on terrestrial or extraterrestrial radio. All right. But it seems to me that if the law says you can't redo an election because the Constitution states the election is to be held in a single day, and the election isn't held in a single day, seems to me there's a giant loophole there you could drive a B-52 through.
Well, that's why some constitutional scholars are actually saying, and constitutional lawyers, that the Supreme Court needs to take this up.
Well, they should. And look, I understand, you know, the whole single day. I get it. Okay? I get the Constitution, right? This goes so far beyond the wording of that law. When you're looking at outright voter fraud, orchestrated voter fraud, and make no mistake, that is exactly what took place in November of last year.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at that, you can't say, well, you know, crap happens.
Yeah,
I mean, that's hardly right. And the country is suffering because of it.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's
absolutely suffering.
That's why the Supreme Court has to take a look at this. I mean, not that they will, but they damn well should.
Well, you know what? You just gave me an idea for a twofer article.
Okay. I'm glad I could be of assistance.
Yeah, I'm going to call a constitutional attorney I know and see what they really think of this. Because, no, actually, this election was in violation of the Constitution.
Well, I've got a great title for you.
Yeah?
Well, if you did it snarky, this would be a great title. Constitutional Constipation.
yeah, well, that's not my style. So.
Well, maybe I'll have to step in and write a paragraph or two for you.
Yeah, right.
Folks, I'll tell you what. There's a lot of information in this op-ed from Diane today. Okay, a couple of great places you can go to find it. You can either go directly to Diane's blog at thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, or you go to rspradio1.com because it's right there on the front page. Mm-hmm. Okay, you can get the link from either of those places and share it wildly. Because this is information you need to know. Yeah, we got to have your help, people. You know, I mean, we can only get so much reach, but if you help, it increases the reach.
Yes.
You know, that's what it comes down to. But here's the thing. Basically, what this article is doing is it's setting out a blueprint for how to fight back.
Yeah. We got to say no to all of this stuff. Anybody that supports this, that's running for office, and we're talking here basically woke, the woke nonsense. Anyone who supports this, you vote them out.
Yeah. I mean,
we want our country back the way it was. President Trump had us on a great path. Taxes were lower, jobs were escalating. We had the economy was going great. Gas prices were great. We were doing great. And then the election was stolen. And well, now we're falling apart.
This woke nonsense has infiltrated everything from COVID to critical race theory.
Oh, critical race theory is a joke.
Well, it is. I mean, we talked about it earlier in the show, the whole gender thing, critical race theory. You know, I mean, I've got an article coming out next week on wokeism. It's not the first one I've done.
You know what started it all?
What?
The entire nonsense about inclusion.
Oh.
Let me just give something for people to really think about here. Since Obama, the big call for inclusion, inclusion, inclusion. You got to include minorities, this and that. Okay. America, 100% of the people, okay. You have a certain amount of minorities. Black folks make up 12.4% of the population. Yet now they are taking over the majority discourse. How is that inclusion? That's not inclusion. That's political manipulation to reach an agenda's goal.
And that surprises you because?
No, I'm not saying it surprises me at all. We know that's what's happening.
So
in the majority, and I'm not, it doesn't have to be black, this, that. The majority of people who consider themselves Americans first, no hyphens, but Americans, we need to stand up and fight back. Period.
You know, there's a huge difference between equality and equity.
Exactly.
Okay. Nobody's got a real problem with equality.
Correct.
But equity is fictional.
That was my article last week.
Yeah. I mean, This stuff is nuts. I mean, what we're seeing going on, and until some very strong voices take a stand, and I don't mean give it lip service, I mean take a stand.
Right.
It's not going to change. And that's what this op-ed is about.
Yeah, we need a change, folks. And I keep alluding to this. Second American Revolution, if that's what it's going to take, that's what it's going to take. Because right now, the Democrats are destroying this republic. They keep calling it a democracy. They can't even get it right that we are not a democracy. We are a republic. If you can't get the basic fact of what your country is, you've destroyed the country.
Can't argue with that. Can't argue with that. Folks, go to either Diane's blog at thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com or go to rspradio1.com, grab the link to this op-ed, Ending Republican Silence, and share it. You know, if you're one of our MeWe-ers, share it all over MeWe. If you're one of our Facebook friends, share it all over Facebook. Put it on Twitter. Do whatever you have to do. But until people take a stand and quit just paying lip service to this stuff, nothing changes.
That's a good point. Most people are paying lip service to it. They say they're mad. They say they're angry. But nobody, except for, you know, handfuls of people, fight back.
Well, and I understand there's a lot of people out there that, you know, they go to the polls on election day and they cast their ballot and then they sit back and hope for the best until the next election rolls around. But if you really want to know how to fix this mess, you got to get involved and you got to stay involved. Getting involved doesn't mean voting and then sitting back. Getting involved means voting and staying involved. You know,
exactly.
And look, you can run for office in this country. You don't have to be special. You just have to be better than the other person running.
Yeah, and you know what? You can do behind-the-scenes work like Craig and I do. It doesn't mean you have to, you know, run for office or you have to be on the news or this and that. You could work for a candidate of your choice. You can write op-eds, opinion pieces, commentaries. You could get out and speak before groups of people. I mean, there's a multitude of things you can do to help in the fight.
Maybe you don't think you're the right person to be a candidate for office A, B, or C, but maybe you know somebody that would be that right candidate.
Right.
Go to that person.
Right.
Sit down with that person. Say, look, we got to take this country back, and it starts in our own neighborhood. So, you know, maybe you should run for mayor. Maybe you should run for city council. Maybe you should run for the school board.
Yeah, that's an important one now, the school board.
I mean, you know, find and identify the people that are going to be the ones that will take the stand and hold firm and get them in the game. You know, you don't have to be the candidate yourself, but if you can help identify the right candidates, great.
Right. Yeah. Right. School board is very critical because what we're doing now, the schools are creating a whole generation of students that will not be capable of independent thought. All they'll be doing is spewing out indoctrinated nonsense.
I'll tell you what, it's a dangerous, dangerous situation we face. So get
yes,
with it,
it
folks. All right, we've gotten our way here to the top of the hour. That means another quick break, couple of station IDs. And then when we come back, a tale of two cities, dumbasses.
It's a good title.
It is. It caught some people's attention this morning, I'll tell you that. Folks,
yes.
Hang on. More rights.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Greg Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor, Tuesday night, the 1st of June. Welcome to it. Thank you for joining us, folks. We appreciate that. Whether you're joining us here live right now, even as we speak, or if you're tuning into the podcast tomorrow, which you find at rspradio1.com, click the podcast button. Podbean, they host the podcast, and you can be a pod person. Now, I'm going to talk about a couple of people that are anything but pod people. These are
pod people in their own right.
Well, no, these are a couple of real dumbasses. I don't know how else to put it. A Tale of Two Cities dumbasses. We'll start with Antonio Brown. It's a name you probably don't recognize unless you happen to live in Atlanta. But you do need to know something about him. He's a dumbass liberal Marxist who's running for mayor. Antonio Brown has made a big part of his campaign center around reimagining public safety. Luckily for you, I have a super-duper double-top secret liberal Marxist decoder ring that I found at the bottom of a box of Cocoa Puffs. What reimagining public safety means, in plain English, is defund the police. In fact, liberal dumbass extraordinaire Antonio Brown has advocated cutting $73 million out of the Atlanta police budget. Wannabe Atlanta mayor, dumbass Brown, doesn't think Atlanta needs the police. He thinks Atlanta would be better off, more safe, and less violent without the men and women in blue guarding that thin line. Well, at least he used to think that way. You see, last week, dumbass Brown got his car jacked. Oh, he tried to stop it on his own, you know, without the police, but that didn't work out very well. Old dumbass got his dumbass dragged down the street as he clung not to his Bible and guns, but to his Mercedes. Several males, at least they were biological males, regardless of how they felt about being a certain of two possible genders, shoved him aside, jumped into his Mercedes-Benz, and took off as dumbass was hanging from the door. Diane, according to dumbass Brown, they were children between the ages of, get this, 7 and 11 years old.
Yeah, and isn't it odd that he did a certain thing when all this happened? You know, something that he never thought he would do?
I know it. Mr. Defund the Police, Mr. Reimagine Public Safety, called the police, where he spent 5 minutes on hold and then waited 45 minutes for the police to show up because budget cuts have made the Atlanta police thin on the street, and they makes them prioritize their responses. Dumbass was kind of low on the priority ladder because his car was already gone and he was not in the process of dying. Potential Mayor Dumbass says he will not press charges because he blamed poverty for why a bunch of ankle-biting rugrats stole his car. I can almost guarantee you that none of the Benz boosters were white because of what dumbass said next. He said, and I quote, This is a generational poverty issue. These kids, it's 12:30 in the afternoon, why aren't they in school? Why aren't we enforcing systems to ensure that if they're not in school, they're in recreational centers? Unquote. Well, once again, using my decoder ring, generational poverty is liberal speak for young black criminals. The second part of that statement also tells you quite a bit when you decode it. Why aren't we enforcing systems to ensure that if they're not in school, they're in recreational centers? Means if those young black criminals are as thick as a pallet of bricks and unable to be indoctrinated, there should be some government-run system that holds them at a detention center where they're allowed to play games. You know, like the illegal alien kids at the border. Then dumbass said this, quote, "The reality is this, we need programmatic incentives in place to help support these kids to be able to give them another pathway instead of them committing crimes," unquote. I say, cabin boy, bring me my decoder ring. 3 to the right, 6 to the left. I'll bet you he's talking about the BLM, where young black criminals can be schooled on how to go from random carjackings with a dumbass hanging on for dear life to looting, arson, and general mayhem as a domestic terrorist. By the way, Diane, the kids ditched the Mercedes because even they know that when you're 7, 8, 9, 10, or 11 years old and you come home with a Benz, Grandma's going to give you a whooping. But if they can get into a government-sponsored, taxpayer-funded BLM programmatic system, they can eventually come home with enough big-screen TVs and athletic shoes to make the whole family happy.
Well, I think for the sake of gender equality, you know, got to be politically correct. LOL, yeah, right.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure there must be a woman dumbass out there somewhere.
Oddly enough, yes, there is. That's because the wannabe mayor of Atlanta wasn't the only dumbass liberal to make the news last week. We also have dumbass Lovely Warren, the actual mayor of Rochester, New York, pop up on the liberal dumbass radar. Lovely dumbass, as a mayor, has never been shy about blathering endlessly on regarding her hatred of our Second Amendment and about the need to end private gun ownership. She has especially railed against illegal guns, which, according to the Second Amendment, don't actually exist. According to Lovely dumbass, quote, "I have a 10-year-old daughter at home. No one wants a child to be shot, especially while they're in their home, sitting in their living room, right?" Unquote. Now, because Lovely is a liberal Marxist and because she's a dumbass, it is highly likely that she believes that guns on their own kill people, and of all the guns that exist, those deemed illegal are far and away the most likely to strut about on their own 2 feet and just randomly start shooting innocent 10-year-olds who are sitting in their living rooms. Rumor has it, of course, that the unloaded guns are often the most dangerous of their ilk. Well, last week, Lovely Dumbass had the strangest thing happen. Her husband, Rochester's first dumbass, got arrested for having one, possibly two, illegal guns in their house. Now, let me be clear about something. Liberal Marxists are calling the guns illegal because Lovely Dumbass's husband doesn't have a permit for them. But liberal Marxists always blame the gun and not the person. Now, Diane, making matters worse, Lovely Dumbass's 10-year-old daughter was home, alone, sitting on the couch when authorities served the search warrant and found the guns. Think about that. A 10-year-old left alone in a home with a couch and two guns. It's a damn wonder one of those guns didn't develop the motivation necessary to leap up and perforate the little girl.
Well, you know what? Usually with these kind of element people, dumbasses I'm talking about here, those illegal guns sometimes go hand in hand with something else illegal.
Yes. Drugs. Mm-hmm. Yep, they found illegal narcotics in the house, too. They found 31 grams of cocaine. Either one, or perhaps both, of those guns could have been higher than a kite. Timothy Granison, Lovely Dumbass's husband, was arrested and charged with criminal possession of a firearm and two counts of third-degree criminal possession of a controlled substance, thus making him one of seven people arrested and charged so far in a narcotics ring investigation. Oh, hello. And what exactly was found during the searches of all seven individuals' homes? A total of more than 2 kilos of powder and crack cocaine, three firearms, and a semi-automatic rifle, along with more than $100,000 cash. Naturally, Lovely Dumbass said, quote, "There's nothing implicating me in these charges announced today because I have done nothing wrong," unquote. Now, while she's technically right about that, at least so far, she hasn't been charged with a crime herself, she did go on to state that she had no idea those guns were in the house, nor did she have any idea that her husband was involved in some sort of narcotics distribution ring and had illegal narcotics in the house. She said, quote, "I did not know about the guns or the drugs. I do not own the guns or the drugs, and I have and will continue to move our community forward," unquote. Personally, I find that rather hard to believe. I mean, she has said that her agenda was to get illegal guns off the street, but apparently she forgot to mention that off the streets means moving them inside of her home. Diana should also be mentioned that Lovely Dumbass's husband also has a felony conviction back in the 1990s, which renders him ineligible to legally own any firearm, regardless of whether or not it's registered with the state of New York, which at least the handgun in their home was not.
Well, isn't it, you know, quite odd? Violent crime is up in Rochester, along with assorted other things, including something she has in common with the guy running for Atlanta's mayor.
Well, you're right.
Look, he's in the same pod.
They may as well be. Look, violent crime, like you said, in Rochester, New York, has been skyrocketing over the past year, with murders up better than 34% over this same time a year ago. Mayor Lovely Dumbass has been trying to defund her city's police department over the past year, and she is blissfully unaware of what's been going on in her own house. Did I mention that Lovely Dumbass is running for re-election? And last October, she was indicted on campaign finance fraud charges? Oh yeah, the mayor of Rochester seemingly has been skimming from the campaign bank account. She has a husband that's a convicted felon and is also involved in a cocaine distribution ring, has weapons in their home illegally, and she leaves her 10-year-old daughter at home alone to answer the door when the cops show up with a search warrant. So, there you have it, a tale of two cities' dumbasses. And as long as Atlanta and Rochester continue to elect liberals to lead them down the dumbass bunny trail, they will continue to suffer from generational poverty and rampant skyrocketing violent crime, because liberal dumbasses are everywhere and they're interchangeable. And that's the bottom line from me, your friendly neighborhood conservative smartass.
Hey, it's better to be a smartass than a dumbass.
Words I live by. I mean, can you believe these two morons?
This particular woman should be recalled immediately. She didn't know that her husband was a piece of garbage, basically. Drugs, guns, the whole nine yards, and they have a daughter there. She didn't know either that, or she's not only a dumbass, she's the world's stupidest mother.
Well, I mean, let's go back to her quote, right? I have a 10-year-old daughter at home. No one wants a child to be shot, especially while they're in their own home sitting in their living room, right? Unquote. Well, here she's got a 10-year-old daughter sitting at home alone, 10 years old, alone in a home in Atlanta where guns and drugs. Yeah, in Rochester, where guns and drugs exist. And nobody else is home when the cops show up with a search warrant other than the 10-year-old girl. She has to let the cops in to search the house. Good Lord.
This is part of the woke culture, folks. This is what our country is becoming under the Democrats.
It's stunning. I mean, it's just stunning. And the thing of it is, these aren't the only two dumbass examples I could have brought up, but these two just jumped out at me because one's trying to become a mayor, the other one is a mayor trying to get reelected.
Anybody who votes for this woman is complicit in destroying their city.
Anybody who votes for either one of these morons.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, Antonio Brown. I've got a whole bunch of photos of Antonio Brown locked and loaded in this blog. You tell me who's the real Antonio Brown. Okay? I mean, this guy's got enough tattoos that he looks like he could open up a gang shop somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, and then he tries to, you know, cover that up by, you know, wearing suits and ties and jackets and, I mean, you figure it out, folks. But neither one of these two morons should be elected dog catcher.
They shouldn't be allowed to run. Well, you probably can't do anything about. But her, the fact that she's being, you know, investigated for siphoning money and all of that stuff, this woman should not be allowed to run. This woman should be in jail.
I mean, look. Go to the blog, folks. I'm telling you, go to thenationalpatriot.com or rspradio1.com. Grab the link for this. The very first photo in here, do you really want the mayor of a city the size of Atlanta to be the kind of fool that stands there and takes selfies in the mirror without his shirt on? Is that really the mentality you want running your city?
I guess the some of the people in Atlanta do. But you know what's really bad about this, Craig? Is both of these are what you would call people of color. One, he appears to be a Hispanic mix of some kind. She is black. And the reason you don't hear about all of this is because of the color of their skin.
You're right.
If these two people had been white, a white woman and a white man pulling these kind of stunts and having this happen in their home, it would be all over the news.
You're right. I mean, it's a skin color cover-up.
That's exactly, and that's what a lot of this stuff is now.
You know, but make no mistake, I'm not calling them dumbasses because they've got more pigment in their skin than I do.
No.
They're dumbasses because they're dead from the neck up.
Exactly.
I mean, but you can't make this stuff up. Okay, no. You got a guy who wants to defund the police. He's you know, loving the fact that he wants Atlanta to cut 73% of their budget for police. 73%! You know, that's going to leave like six cops and a bicycle. Okay?
Even that.
And so while he's out there making these speeches, we must defund the police, we must reimagine public safety, then he goes back to his car, and as he's getting in, a 7, an 8, a 9, a 10, and an 11-year-old kid roll him and take his Mercedes?
I know.
You got a real problem in Atlanta when 7-year-olds are jacking Benzes.
Yeah, yeah. But these, you know, these 7-year-olds are not what we normally think of 7-year-olds as.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, but here's Mayor wannabe dumbass saying, well, you know, even if they catch these kids, I'm not going to press charges because it's really not their fault. It's generational poverty.
No, it's called generational. We've got our hands out. Gimme, gimme, gimme. You owe me. Time for reparations. That's what this is. This we have created. And it goes back to LBJ and his, what was that called? That program he started.
Oh, affirmative action?
All that. It goes back to all of that nonsense.
Well,
it's sickening. No, the Great Society, I think it was.
Oh, okay. I know. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, not affirmative action, which is also bad in its own right, was something different. But the Great Society, all that nonsense of catering, that created generations of black people who have become beholden to the government.
Well, they got off the plantation in the South and got onto the Democrat plantation.
Well,
I mean, that's really what it is. You know, they rely on the government for everything they want. And boy, if they don't get it, there's going to be hell to pay, and somebody's going to get screwed. Somebody's going to get their bins stolen. Somebody's going to get their building burned down. You know, I mean, rather than going out and working for it, you know, in the case of the kids that jacked his bins, rather than going to school and getting an education, and then making something out of themselves so they can earn what they want the way people should. No, they, you know, they cut school 12:30 in the afternoon and they go down to where Mayor Wannabe Dumbass is giving a speech and jack his Mercedes.
I'd like to know what kind of parental home they come from. I guarantee you it's not a two-parent intact family unit. It might be, you know, brothers and sisters from different daddies. You know, this is what they lump into the generational nonsense that they're going, you know, that this dumbass was talking about.
Yeah.
Generational poverty created by the lack of family.
Well, and even if the police catch them, whatever police are left in Atlanta, you know, and that's funny too. I mean, I don't want police, called the cops.
Right.
But even if the police find these kids, he says, I'm not going to press charges. In other words, don't teach them that they've done wrong. Just let them get away with it because, you know, it really wasn't their fault. You know,
that's right. Government didn't give them enough money. We, the people, didn't see our taxpayers' dollars going to these people who I guarantee would end up with their hands out for the rest of their lives.
It's insane.
I am so sick of this crap, Craig.
The title on the commentary tonight, A Tale of Two Cities Dumbasses. And it's loaded with snark, but I'm telling you, it's absolutely true. And, you know, I've gotten some great comments. One guy left a comment on down on the blog, Myron McCrady. He said, great article for all to learn from. Gaslighting the public is the leftist tool at this time, it seems. But, hey, white males are the problem, don't you know?
Yeah. You know what these people forget? It wasn't Republican white people that kept them as slaves. It wasn't Republican white people that started the KKK. It wasn't white Republican people that started the separate but equal nonsense.
Jim Crow laws.
They need to look in the mirror and see who's really standing behind them and who wants to keep them in mental chains.
It's right there, right off. Yeah. They don't want to know that though, because then they see that requires thought. and thought is the antithesis of liberalism. See, liberals don't want them to learn the truth. Yeah, liberals don't want them to learn the truth because then they won't be liberals anymore.
Right.
Well, it's just that simple. Folks, we want to again thank our pod people, the people that go over to Podbean and download the shows. Got a whole bunch of downloads from last week's show on Are We Alone?
Yeah, that was a fun show.
That really was a fun show. And you and I mean, we did that show on Friday night. You and I have not even really talked about that show since.
No.
But I got a lot of comments.
We're waiting for the report to come out.
Well, and as I understand it, that the report is supposed to go to Congress today, but it's not supposed to.
The 3rd. Wasn't it June 3rd?
No, it was June 1st. The most important part of it is it's not to be made public. The public part of the report is not to come out until the 25th of June.
Well, Craig, they got to get enough magic markers to redact 3/4 of the report. Don't you know that?
Well, and let's face it, most of the people doing the redacting are going to spend at least half that time doing nothing but sniffing the magic markers.
True.
let's be perfectly honest about what goes on behind closed doors.
True.
But yeah, I've gotten a lot of great comments, a lot of people that either heard us live and sent me a message on Facebook or sent me a text message. You know, they love the show. People actually, they said, you know what? You guys brought up a lot of great points.
Yeah. Yeah. But the main thing is, Craig, we actually, through science, research, facts, we honestly believe we are not alone. We didn't do this show just to put something out there. We both believe we're not alone.
Well, and the behind the scenes aspect of this was, it wasn't even like we were doing a show. You and I have those conversations often, off air.
Yes, yes.
You know, because it's something, you know, we've both seen things. We both know things. We both do research on things. We're both space geeks. We understand the science behind it, you know. And you and I often, for years and years, you know, on a day where it's slow and you know, there's no big breaking news and we're sitting here chatting, the conversation so often drifts into that. Last Friday, yes. It wasn't even like you and I were doing a show. It was just like we were talking like we always do.
Yeah, well, here's something we're going to have to talk about. Joe Biden just made Kamala Harris, he appointed her as the head to look into voting rights. You mean she's going to do as good a job there as she did being the head of the border investigation?
Yeah, well, she'll get right on the voting rights thing after she fixes the border.
Yeah, and makes, you know, some inside deals with Dominion, probably. I'm joking, folks.
And I've got some breaking news before we call it a night, which we're going to have to do here in a minute. China has confirmed the world's first human case of H1N3 bird flu, but they say it's highly unlikely to spread widely among people. Well, thank you, China.
Now we know their next bioweapon.
Yeah, and right now Dr. Fauci is going to try and put little tiny masks on chickens.
Don't put it past him.
add an extra chapter to his upcoming book.
No, what he's going to do is come out, you know, we don't think it's going to spread, but we need to take precautions.
Right, quit eating chicken.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. Folks, look, thanks for joining us tonight. We appreciate it. Diane, I think it's time you and I just kind of wrap this one up, huh?
I think so. Nighty-night, folks.
Good night, everybody. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll see.